This is the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the best of today's Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
Probation comes in. I'm gonna do it for you again. Now listen.
Grant, this is not on the sports channel.
This is a good one.
11 wrestling tickets, 10 of Copenhagen.
9 years probation. 8 table dancers, 7 pack of Redmond, 6 Kansas fan.
5 flannel shirts, 4
big lift tires, 3 shotgun shells, 2 hunting dogs.
You guys really are rednecks. You don't just pretend to be rednecks for the purpose of this show.
Merry Christmas.
Rand, this is not on
the just my allergies.
Sports Channel 8.
shout out to Moose for like doing
singing
it faster.
Along a second behind.
Knowing that he had to get it faster. Nice job, Moose.
Moose, well done. He is the Weather Moose. He joins us now. Do you guys know the 12 pains of Christmas? Do you remember that one?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Sending Christmas cards.
Oh, yeah.
Ringing up the lights.
Hangovers.
I feel like somebody in the triangle played that all the time growing up. I can't remember who it was, but we're bringing that one back, too.
Moose.
Ringing up the lights.
Moose.
Hangovers.
It's 70 degrees.
It is. Wonderful.
You tweeted snow like 10 days ago.
Nah, 4 days
whatever.
Ago.
Whatever. Long-term trends.
It's 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, when's that snow coming, buddy? How's that working out for us?
Check with me again on Saturday, Friday or Saturday.
What, are you saying there's still a chance?
I'm saying there's a chance for some frozen something, brother, in the vicinity of the triangle.
What is the vicinity of the triangle? Like, are you talking the
mountain? I'm going out to the triad. I ain't gonna forget about the triangle.
You're just
in the vicinity of the triangle. I say in the triangle. Dang, you're mincing some words, man.
Just a scareologist.
Yeah.
That's all you are. Just trying to drum up panic. Weather moves.
What I try to do is give you the most leeway to prepare for things is what I do.
All right. If you say so.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, real quick, let me tell you that Sports Channel 8 will be at the Carolina Ale House in Wake Forest this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Carolina Panthers against the Seahawks. Goodson's 12s. Carolina Ale House has great food, great selection of beers, a great place to watch the Panthers game. Join us this Sunday at Wake Forest. One lucky table will win lunch on us. Hell yeah. Weather moves. Even though it's 70-plus degrees outside, we're still very much in the Christmas spirit. Tell us what's going on about the problem with the Santas down in Joco.
Yeah, so listen, I wanted to bring y'all another beautiful Holtz Lake Hallmark tale today, but we've got some unfortunate news out of Johnston County.
Oh, no.
So this will be a little bit of a holiday twist on Tales from Joco.
Okay. Here.
So there'd been rumors floating around that several of the Santas ringing bells in front of the various Walmarts throughout the county weren't quite up to snuff. And until today, those rumors couldn't be substantiated. But we have breaking news, boys. Breaking news.
Woo.
Two men have been arrested after they posed as Salvation Army Santa Clauses to scam local shoppers.
Man, that's no good.
It is not good at all. Jimmy Eagle Road of Crocker's Nub and Delmar Kelvin of Delwood were arrested on charges of aggressive solicitation and trespassing. Johnston County deputies started a sting operation around area Walmarts after receiving the following complaints or tips. And now these are direct from the reports now, all right?
All right.
Complainant says the Salvation Army Santa at the Clayton Walmart has cheese whiz in his beard and urinated in his pants. This next one says a female asserts she was accosted by a Santa at the 4042 Walmart who said, quote, $3, huh? Hope the little kids like Newports. Next, complainant says the Santa at the Walmart in Smithfield wasn't wearing pants, showing boxer shorts that read, in case of emergency, pull down. And this last one here, this one's kind of, I don't like this. It's super aggressive. It says it received a report of a Santa chasing a five-year-old for only putting a nickel in the bucket. I mean, this is ridiculous. But anyway, the actual arrest happened on Sunday at the Walmart in Smithfield, where officers observed two men ringing the bell and barking at shoppers. They'd pull the money out of the bucket at random intervals. Eventually, one of the guys went into the store and shoplifted a flashlight. We have no reasons as to why. That's when deputies decided to make their move and approach the one Santa by himself, who happened to be Eagle Road. Eagle Road claimed to just be ringing the bell because Kelvin had to go inside and take a pee, is what he said. Deputies located Kelvin inside Walmart at the, you know how they embed those Subway counters in there?
Yeah.
So he was at the Subway counter. And he was buying a, let me look at this here. A foot-long meatball sub on Subway's new Ultimate Cheesy Garlic Bread. That's what he said he was doing. Anyway, the sub was never acquired. Mm. And he won't. Kelvin won't be ringing any more bells after he had his bell rung while being tackled into a holiday display of natural light as he tried to get away on foot. Anyway, a Salvation Army lieutenant happened to be at the Walmart that day and indicated the giveaway was that they were ringing the bell on Sundays, when Salvation Army typically does not solicit any donations.
Ah.
So just be on the lookout for them scamming Santas on Sundays, the Salvation Army buckets. Just be careful out there, y'all.
All right, make sure the person ringing the bell is an actual Salvation Army Santa.
Yeah, if the fella has got cheese winners in his beard and he reeks of moonshine, it's probably a giveaway. But my question is this. Is this an actual tale from Johnston County, or is it something from somewhere afar?
Interesting. I could see it happening, but I also feel like I would have heard about this one.
Now, if he had said that, like, the Santas were, like, running nude around JoCo.
Yeah, I hear that.
See, if that would have, it would have been a clear tell from JoCo.
See, it's a party out there in Riverwood, boys.
I can't make fun because apparently people are running nude down Wade Avenue and on the Beltline too.
Riverwood is solid area. Got the 3-9 golf course over there at Riverwood.
That's right. That temperature climbs back up into the 70s. People lose their daggone mind.
I'm gonna say this is not a real tell from JoCo.
Grant.
I'm going to say I've seen enough people in Johnston County order the meatball sub at Subway, and I'm like, what are you doing? So I'm going to say it is a JoCo tale.
That's an interesting.
Yeah. Can't trust that meatball sub.
You can't.
Interesting detail, like, to key on. Why would you do that? But I like it. Weather Moose, what is it? Is it a real tale from Johnston County? Do we need to watch out for these Santas?
This is not a tale from Johnston County this time.
Woo!
However, this did happen in Casper, Wyoming.
Interesting.
Maybe not quite on the details and all that them there, but and the first fella's name actually was James Eagle Road, so I have to, that's even true there. So,
there
but yeah,
go.
This happened out there in Wyoming, so just be careful if you're in them west of the Mississippi Walmarts.
And it's just good advice in general to watch out for creepy Santas.
That's right. But if you see a fella out there in moose antlers begging for money, please oblige.
Of course, as always. He is the Weather Moose. Keep us abreast of the snow situation. We'll talk to you Friday for the tailgate weather report.
All right, boys. Love you.
Love you, Moose. Casper, Wyoming, in the Johnston County of Wyoming.
It is.
That's what it says on Wikipedia.
I think all of Wyoming is the Johnston County of Wyoming, right?
That's fair. A meatball sub?
Carolina Hurricanes are on 99.9 The Fan. Tuesday night at 9, the Canes visit the Edmonton Oilers. 30 minutes before the game, join Alec Campbell for Stormwatch, presented by the John Heister Automotive Group. After the game, join Alec and John Forslund for The Aftermath, presented by the Raleigh Beer Garden. What happened in March 2019? We'll crank up the Wayback Machine for the year in review as it continues. That's next.
Not of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Merry Christmas. It's 75 degrees, North Carolina.
Thanks, Moose.
It'll snow this weekend. You're welcome.
I do feel like Christmas music is some of the most... You remember Christmas music where you see it in Christmas movies.
Sure.
Like certain songs or whatever. So like this one, I think it's the family getting ready in Home Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like automatically, that's what you think of.
Yeah.
Rocking around the Christmas tree. When he's setting up the fake.
Well, for you, it's going to be all Home Alone.
Okay.
They're all going to be Home Alone. Some of us actually have memories with this song outside of that. Like, when we used to make mixtapes back in the day. And, like, it used to be hard to collect Christmas music because they were all on, like, random compilation albums. So to make one good Christmas album, you either needed to own, like, The Carpenters and Bing Crosby and, like, all these different soundtracks just to put together one decent Christmas album. Now I can just go on Spotify and just... blah, 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 blah. Just throw 10,000 songs in there.
Was that before LimeWire?
Yes. Oh. This is like back in the day where I had to do it by hand.
Oh, yeah.
And like actually buy these albums. Like, a very special Christmas.
I think of Carol of the Barrels when he's running home from church.
Yes. You associate every piece of Christmas music
ready,
with where it's
to
used.
To get ready for Harry and Marv.
Yes. Yeah. We get it. We get it. I will say Christmas in Hollis.
Yeah.
Do you associate that with the movie?
Are you thinking of that song?
It's probably a movie you haven't seen. That's why. It's what John McClane in Die Hard is taking the limo to the Christmas party.
I do. Hard Knock Life. I immediately go to Annie.
Well, it's Christmas, from Annie.
Christmas movie.
It's
Hard Knock Life a Christmas song.
No, no. Absolutely not.
Maybe
the Jay-Z version.
Maybe the Jay-Z version.
We're gonna do that at 11 o'clock. All right.
On the other side.
One of the other sides. We'll do it. We have been reviewing 1 month of 2019 every day. And today, we are cranking up the Wayback Machine and headed to where, Josh Goodson?
March of 2019. Just 9 months ago.
March Madness.
Babies are being born today
that
were consummated in this month, probably.
Wow.
If I'm doing the math right.
It's good to know.
Right?
Nine months. So
sounds right. Yeah, it sounds right. Although I'm always told it's more like 40 weeks.
Okay. How do you know?
Just saying. I hear these things. I got sisters. I got 5 nieces and nephews.
That's true.
A lot going on. We'll start out quickly. Hockey. We were big into hockey around this time.
Yeah.
Because the playoff push was
We had to win every
was
day.
Gearing
and we
up.
Needed people to lose. It felt like we went undefeated from late January through
April.
The playoffs.
Well,
started,
we didn't in March.
And we had to win every game.
Canes were 9-6-1.
Oh. Not bad.
It felt like a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, I had looked. They had not clinched yet. They did not clinch until the first game. And there was 3 games left in April that they finally won one of those or somebody lost and they clinched. But the Canes went 9-6-1. But I think we were going to games.
Yep.
Sending people to games.
Do you have the storm surges for us?
No. That's
letting Ben Swain down.
Well,
I want to say maybe duck hunting happened in March. And basketball happened in March.
Well, hold on. Basketball did happen in March. I was trying to find the storm surges for the Carolina Hurricanes because you put me on the spot and now I feel terrible.
I definitely did. You just keep going. We'll
during the segment.
Are y'all going to find him? Okay.
Yeah, we'll find him. Find him.
Oh, there was
we'll find him.
Rand, find him. Basketball was the biggest part. And
they ran like a whole play. There was screens. Guys were moving. They brought a basketball goal onto the ice.
Didn't Ben tell us about this one already?
No, he said he was looking forward to talking about it. That's the reason I knew he had to. I don't even know which other ones happened in March. I was just going to bring up the basketball.
How's there not a Wikipedia for this yet? How's there not a Carolina Hurricane Storm Surge Wikipedia?
Yeah, what are you Section 328 dudes?
What are you nerds? Get up there.
What are you nerds? That'll make it happen.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
Somebody's listening to this show. If they're listening to this and they have nothing to do.
Make a Storm Surge Wikipedia,
This should be Oh, never mind. That's the list of North Carolina Hurricanes. Like, we don't need that.
Okay. In September, they had Fran.
Yeah, Florida.
None in March. No actual hurricanes in March.
Knock on wood.
Okay, sorry. Basketball was the main thing. And the biggest part of it, I'm going to talk about me for a second at Pull Up Hermar. I was very triggered in March of 2019.
Golly.
It was bad.
You had me convinced NC State was in the way. I was like, you know what?
Last year was the first year of the new NCAA sorting tool, the net. And it was like the tool that NC State was ranked like number 5 in at the very first ranking that they had.
Yeah.
Everybody's so like,
we love the net, baby.
Love the net.
The net is great.
And up until the NCAA tournament, NC State was a net ranking darling.
Yeah.
They were top 30, essentially.
And they ended up being like far and away the highest net ranked team that didn't get
in
the tournament.
They didn't help themselves much because they lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Like the game or two before the ACC tournament. And that probably, along with like a Wake Forest loss earlier, that's probably what left them out.
Yeah.
But I was mad. I was big mad. And I was just sitting there saying, like, Taylor Twellman.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What was the committee doing?
Yeah.
Because they did a terrible job. And NC State ultimately got left out of the NCAA tournament because of their non-conference strength of schedule.
Yeah.
What it came down to. Still mad about that. They did go to the NIT. We got to enjoy a few games at the Reynolds.
Extra
the
old games, barn. Bonus games.
Some players retreat, pregame rallies. So NC State did not make the tournament. We went to the ACC tournament. We had a good time there.
Yeah, it was in Charlotte.
In Charlotte.
I was seen praising Charlotte. I thought they were actually a pretty solid host for the NCAA tournament.
Is that where we first heard the Seminole Sound doing Sports Channel 8's song?
Absolutely.
Live?
Possibly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They did it. They turned it around in like 24 hours. I think our Max Gangwer tweeted at him and they said, yeah, get us an MP3. And they debuted the new song.
The other local teams of note, North Carolina went into the ACC tournament on an 8-game winning streak.
Yeah, they were. They were playing above their weight. They were punching above their weight at that time. And they had some people convinced they might actually be a national champion. And then when they lost, you were like, this makes sense.
Well, they closed out the regular season beating Duke, and it was the second time they had beat Duke in the regular season. And then they played Duke again in the ACC tournament in the semifinals. With Zion.
Yeah, that was the difference in the first
two games. I wasn't there. You were there. It was a good game. It was a thriller, right? I think it was 74-73 final.
Excellent game. And, again, you thought that those two teams were playing at a Final Four level, and that looked like a game between two Final Four caliber teams. It was a good game.
North Carolina would go on to the NCAA tournament. Went to the Sweet 16. Played the Auburn Tigers.
One of the hottest teams in the tournament.
Auburn beat the crap out of UNC.
Yes.
Auburn... They shot well, if I remember correctly. They couldn't miss, and ended up being a blowout. That wasn't the best part.
What's the number one thing the people around here remember about the UNC loss to Auburn?
Debbie Yao, former NC State athletic director.
Well, then still current.
Well, she was current then. She's now the former NC State athletic director. She is known for being on Twitter.
She's great.
And she's known for sticking up for NC State when it came time to do such things. After that game, simply tweets... Three words, a period after each word. We, period, beat, period, Auburn.
Which was both like a shot it in was the a, rivalry, well, it but was also a shot at the NCAA.
Right, it was a shot at the NCAA tournament committee not putting NC State in.
We beat Auburn.
It's like, we beat Auburn.
We beat Auburn. Like, you can emphasize all three different words. Like, we beat Auburn. Or like, we beat Auburn. We beat Auburn.
Right.
Like, we deserve to be in.
It was a fantastic moment on Twitter.
It was a less is more. Like, just because you get 140 characters doesn't mean you got to use them all, baby. Just we beat Auburn.
Duke won the ACC tournament. I can't remember if, like, I couldn't remember. Like, they had just kind of been getting Zion back into form, right?
I think he just came back.
He didn't because he didn't play in the second North Carolina game.
They came back for the ACC tournament.
His first game was Syracuse in the ACC tournament.
That's right. So Duke actually won the ACC tournament, to which I think after they did that and Zion was back, everyone was like, they're going to make the Final Four.
Yeah.
Like,
they were looking good when he went out. They beat UVA with him.
Right.
They were looking good with him back.
Right.
They thought they were the number one team.
It started out, I think they won their first NCAA tournament game pretty handily. But after that, every other game was close. I remember they played the Taco Fall.
That was one of the best games of the tournament.
They somehow won that game. Then they played Virginia Tech. Somehow won. I mean, these were 1 or 2 point wins. to the point where you're like, okay, maybe they're not as good, right, and they actually ran into Michigan State and lost by 1 point. The Zion era was over.
In college.
Well, we
so far actually, sadly,
and I put this note in there, but they actually hadn't won it yet. But Virginia was getting to the Final Four.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
We got to talk about that tomorrow, right?
We're out of time in this segment.
Ran out of time.
That is March 2019 in the Wayback Machine. Coming up on the other side. What's that? Oh, yes. Coming up on the other side, we will talk about cheating. But we are taking you back to 1 month out of the season, out of the year, every day, in case you slept through a month. One way to make sure you don't sleep through a month or an important meeting or anything you got going on is to go see Ben Swain's best friend, Brandon Giegling, over at ParkwaySleep.com. He's at the Parkway Sleep Health Center in Cary. You can get tested. You can be sleeping, get a great night's sleep every night.
I don't see Swain tweeting late anymore, so I assume he's just sleeping great now.
Yeah, he just goes right to bed.
He's sleeping right now.
Yeah.
He might be. ParkwaySleep.com. Check it out. Talk to Brandon Giegling at Parkway Sleep Health Center in Cary. And on the other side, we're going to talk about cheaters and take anonymous confessions. Give us your story of cheating in sports.
In sports.
In sports. Sports Channel 8. Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
Early precincts are reporting. We asked, is it okay to eat leftover lasagna in the workplace on Twitter, right?
What are people saying?
18 votes in, 78% say yes.
78% say yes? What's wrong with this? It smells bad. Maybe they're not in a confined space.
No. You said it didn't smell bad.
Well, it smells. Yeah, it's all right. Sure. It smells. It alters the smell of the room, the neutral smell.
Okay. You okay?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm okay. I just dropped off my check, baby. The best part, I used to have to wait for these things to get mailed. Now we're in here every day. They save the postage, saves me the time. Just cold cash, baby. Woo! Where are we going to lunch after this, boys?
Woo!
Capital Grill? We're going big.
Ooh.
Sullivan's?
Don't play up my emotions like that.
What are we doing? Woo! I'm the worst about it. I would never do well at a job where I only got paid like twice a year and like huge amounts. Even though it should be spread out for the whole year.
Sure.
Every time I get a big check, I'm like, oh, man, I have all of this money to immediately spend. Not even considering the two bills that are sitting on my desk back at home. All right, we're talking about cheaters. The New England Patriots are known cheaters. They continue to cheat to this day. They should be kicked out of the league. No, I'm just kidding. At least make them play in a harder division. Can we punish them with that?
Amen.
That needs to be it right there. In fact, I figured it out. Because the whole like, oh, we'll dock them draft picks. They're just going to trade for more, and they're going to pick better than other people, so they're going to still get the right people. There's not much you can do to punish them, but that's their punishment. For the eighth time we've caught them cheating, a big old fine that we can go to charity or something.
Yeah,
or us. And then they have to play. What division do we want to make them play in? What's the Steelers?
Not the NFC East.
What's the Steelers rating?
AFC North.
AFC yeah. North, maybe?
No, but you get the Bengals and the Browns.
Yeah. We already know.
But they already have tape on the Bengals.
NFC West.
Ooh, Seattle.
Ooh.
And then they got to fly, out there for a bunch of games, too. Make yeah. them play. Remember when the Hornets were in the NFC West with the Rams and the 49ers? The Panthers.
The SEC
let's
East?
Call them the Hornets.
Maybe.
ACC Atlantic.
Yeah, make the Patriots play Clemson twice a year. Yeah. Be better than the Dolphins,
man.
Yes, make the Patriots play in the NFC West. That's the punishment they get for cheating. All right, we are talking about cheaters and we're taking your calls. 860-5-FAN, 860-5326. Confessing when you cheated, Should we just hope these are fake names when people tell them to us? Should we use the names?
Let's just.
Tom and Raleigh. I'm not changing the name. If you gave us a fake name, then we'll use it. Tom and Raleigh says he cheated in wrestling in high school. Tom, how'd you cheat?
All right, so it's a fake name, but
Solid.
When you weigh in for wrestling matches, the coach and the ref and the opponent's coach just look at the number that pops up on the scale.
Okay.
So some of our teammates, we would put our hands behind our back, and your teammates behind you would lift your hands up to take a little bit of that extra weight that you needed to cut that you didn't get off. Get that weight off so that way you made weight so you can wrestle.
Yeah, scales are very sensitive. Like just by, you know, touching anything that's not on the scale that takes a little bit of weight off the scale.
Yeah, so it was like that last like 0.1, 0.2 pounds you couldn't get off. You just, you know, put your hands behind your back, your teammate lifts it up a little bit. Boom.
Right, was this a common
yeah, that's what I was just about
practice?
To ask.
Like,
was this a, like, well, you are doing it partly because you assume the other team's doing it too?
Yeah, we knew. So we were part of a bunch of my teammates. We wrestled in the club. And so we knew other teams that, at least individuals on teams, that would do that too. So that's why we did it.
And did the coaches know that you guys did this?
No.
Okay. So cheating.
Yeah, our coaches, they found out that would have, you know, stuff would have changed.
All right, but that's...
It was just something stuck between the seniors and then pretty much the kids that you really needed to wrestle.
I appreciate the honesty.
Tom, are you better now? Do you feel like you got that off your chest? Have you been holding that in for years?
Enough people know about it that I know. So.
Okay.
And then you had a cheating question of your own.
Yeah, so Pete Rose, not allowed in the Hall of Fame for gambling, which I guess is something they would consider cheating, right? But he only gambled on his team. The Patriots are cheating to gain a competitive advantage. Do you think there's any way they don't let Belichick, Brady, Kraft in as an owner? I know that's like crazy to think of, but it's a little bit, it's worse than cheating and gambling on your own team.
Yeah, no, Now I think that these are two separate things. Thanks for the call, Tom. And 8605 fan, 8605326.
Real quick, cheating or not cheating?
What they did?
What he did?
That was cheating.
Okay.
They weighed 131, and they were trying to get the scale to say they weighed 129. But again, there's partly that goes back to, you know, is it cheating just to hold in football, knowing that you're holding? Mm. Like if you're doing something, isn't it the official's job to say, hey, everybody, back away from the guy on the scale? That's a question. But he clearly thought it was cheating. All right, so. I think that the reason Pete Rose was punished so harshly was not that they thought necessarily how much he had affected outcome of games. It's that gambling has the potential to completely corrupt and rock your sport. I mean, we've seen college basketball way back in the day. Boxing, probably that was part of the reason why it became a less trustworthy event was because of cheating. So the health of your sport in general depends on the public believing that you have rules and you uphold them, and gambling can erode that trust very quickly. Although it's going to be interesting now as gambling becomes more legal, you know, as opponents of gambling point out, the more that their gambling abounds, the more temptation for corruption there is, and the more it probably will actually come to fruition. People will find sneaky new ways, not just intentionally missing free throws. There's ways you can massage things, referees, players, coaches, whoever. But to answer his question directly, no, I do not see Tom Brady or Bill Belichick being kept out of the Hall of Fame because of perceived...
There will be people who don't vote for them, and they will write columns and say, I'm leaving them out because while they have all these great records, they did this happened
but
under his
overall,
watch.
They'll get in, but they've definitely dinged their reputation. I think, I mean, we do it sort of jokingly and sort of to mock them because they've been so successful. But absolutely, if a fair assessment of them is that they were willing to step morally over the line than perhaps some others of their peers. You know, Mike Tomlin may be every bit as good a coach as Bill Belichick and just said, but you know what? No, if presented with the opportunity to gain more information about the opposing team's signals, even if I could do something that technically didn't violate a rule, but I thought, no, you know what? We're not supposed to be doing that. I mean, yeah, I think that there are guys that will be remembered for being those type of people. And only really the players and staffs of these guys know better than any of us ever will, right? If you're on multiple teams, you know which coaches. And this is true in our world in college basketball. And it's one of the topics we were talking about earlier is North Carolina State's response to a notice of allegation. only players who have been on these teams or coaches who've worked with head coaches know, did this guy say, hey, here's the rule, and I want us to stop two steps short of it so that no one ever perceives that we ever tried to violate a rule? Or did your coach say, here's the rule, but I know for a fact nobody ever cares about us doing this, this, and this, you know, and that's how reputations are built, and sort of people know them. 8605FAN, 8605326.
I know there's some tennis players out there.
Oh, gosh.
Because tennis is like the most egregious.
It's so hard.
It's so easy to cheat.
So easy to
and
cheat.
And
so hard
I've
not
actually,
to
actually, I never played tennis professionally, but I've played it enough that I don't think I've cheated, but I've definitely probably missed calls.
100%. I've also missed calls. I also think I've balanced out. I think I have at times.
Given stuff that I shouldn't
that
have.
That I should not have.
But I do think there's enough people out there who probably did use it maliciously, the fact that you can call your own.
You see it. It's bad.
It's
I used to
terrible.
Cover high school tennis, and you could sort of tell when somebody was, like, you would watch somebody, and then they'd call a bad one, and everyone in the crowd would be like, yo, yo. And a coach would call them over and be like, I think maybe that was good or whatever it was. But yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't like singles tennis is because of the psychology.
No, you don't like it because you just lost to me a week or two ago.
No,
right,
but the mind, I can't say the word, but like it messes with your mind when you're like, I think that was out, but it was so close. I'd rather call it in and lose the point than have the other person perceive that I'm cheating.
Right.
And you're like, no, you should call it out if you thought it was out. It's like, oh God, it's just too much anxiety officiating yourself. I'd much rather have a referee designated with calling it and then trying to flop and induce bad calls out of them. I was pretty good at drawing offensive fouls.
Nice.
But it's not cheating.
No.
It's not cheating.
You've been listening to the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also drops every weekday at noon. Thanks again for listening to the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast.